Chapter 26. It's hard to forgive. Rushing to the police station, Aunt Judy had to keep consoling Kara. Maybe this will be enough to wake that boy up and turn him around. Let's not despair. When they entered the police station, an officer kindly showed them to some chairs and went to get Thomas out of the cell. It was a very different Thomas who staggered out in handcuffs, sobbing. There was no sign of the wall he had been building so determinedly around himself. Weeping as though his heart had broken, he kept on babbling, "I'm sorry, Mum. I'm so sorry, Verity. I am so, so sorry." Verity's eyes quickly took in the scene. Why did Thomas have blood on his knuckles? There was even blood splattered on his jeans. Wild-eyed, she cried out, "What have you done, Thomas? There's blood all over you." Thomas sobbed even harder, if that was possible, and he tried to speak again, but couldn't form the words. A policeman stepped forward and said gravely to Kara, "Your son and a few of his friends have been involved in a drunken brawl with another youth. Fortunately, we were called to the scene early by neighbours complaining of excessive noise. When we arrived, we were able to stop the assault and call an ambulance immediately. That probably saved the young man's life." It all came together too easily in Verity's mind. The party, an ambulance, a fight. Peter. Was the young man Peter Bryant? She asked fearfully, trembling from head to toe. Thomas sounded like he was going to choke. "Yes," said another officer at the desk, glancing down at the report. "Do you know him?" A sense of horror fell over Verity, and she burst into tears. "Mrs. Lovell," the officer said sternly, "your son has been charged with minor consumption, that is, drinking underage, which involves a fine of $70. I'm not sure what the final assault charges will be. That depends on the severity of Mr. Bryant's injuries. A court date will be set to sentence your son when we have finished our investigations." Kara had become quite unresponsive. All emotion had drained from her face. She stood stock still, unable to believe she was going through this again, only now with her son. Thomas saw the look on his mother's face, a look that even in his intoxicated state he remembered all too well. He tried to say something to his mother, but he was so choked with emotion that his words were incomprehensible. "Shall we take him home?" Aunt Judy asked, not sure what was meant to happen in such a situation. The officer next to Thomas shook his head. "No, he and his friends will spend the night here. We have police checks to do on all of them, and we want to talk to them when they are sober. He'll probably be released tomorrow, on the condition that he promises to completely abstain from alcohol until his court date." Verity was aware that the feelings inside of her needed to be restrained. Hatred and anger were bubbling up. What had Thomas done? Peter had only wanted to help. How could Thomas react so violently to someone so kind and good? And then she was so worried about Peter. What had happened to him? Would he be all right? What if he wasn't? As they turned to leave, the officer assisted Kara to the car, and Verity gave Thomas one last darting glance. Every bit of raw emotion came through in that look. And instead of goodbye, she snapped, "You're just like Dad." All the way home, Verity was in no mood for forgiveness. Seeing the blood on Thomas's hands and clothes had been terribly frightening. Realizing it was Peter's blood made her feel sick with fear. Her mind agonized over images of what might have occurred between them. How could Thomas have hurt Peter when Peter had only gone to the party to try and help him? She reproached herself for agreeing to Peter's plan to help. It was crazy for one lone individual to try and intervene in a situation like that. Better to have let Thomas wallow in his drunken state than for an innocent person to risk his own life. The picture that kept emerging in her mind of Thomas standing in the police station blubbering away didn't strike a single note of pity in her heart. She was sure that in the morning when he was sober, he'd return to the same "I don't care about anyone else" attitude that he'd maintained for so long. When they arrived home, Verity tried to call Peter's house for the second time that evening, but the phone only rang and rang. No one was home. All that night she tossed and turned, frightening dreams taking hold of her every time she slept, and just as frightening thoughts of reality every time she woke. If only she knew what had happened to Peter. What did "in a serious condition" mean? Would he make it? Did he hate her whole family now? She wished desperately for the light of day, so she could phone to end the agony of her suspense. There was still no one answering the phone at Peter's house the next morning, and Verity doubted whether his mother would even think of calling her. Minutes seemed like eternity, as she paced the floor, wondering how she could find out what was happening with Peter. Finally, the phone rang and she rushed to pick it up, but it was only the police, stating that they could now take Thomas home. Aunt Judy and Kara left immediately to get him, but Verity stayed home. She didn't care whether she ever saw Thomas again or not, and she certainly didn't want to miss any calls from the Bryants. For an hour, she walked back and forth in the kitchen, alone in silence, unable to collect her thoughts. She wished she'd asked to be dropped off at the hospital, and then perhaps she could have found out about Peter's condition herself. When she heard Aunt Judy's jeep pulling into the driveway, Verity decided to flee to her room. Seeing Thomas again without knowing about Peter would be too difficult to take. As she was sitting there on her bed with her back against the headboard, a knock sounded on her closed door. "Verity, it's me, Thomas. Please let me speak to you." The words were spoken so gently that she couldn't refuse. Thomas came softly in, his eyes red and puffy, tear stains still on his face. "I'm so sorry," he said, his voice shaking. "I'm so sorry about last night." When she didn't answer, Thomas asked anxiously, "Have you heard anything? Anything about Peter?" Shaking her head, she gazed at Thomas reproachfully, pondering how she felt towards him. His feelings no longer concerned her. Crushed by her look, Thomas collapsed into the chair across from her. "Verity, please forgive me," he begged. "I know I've been horrible to you and to everyone." He hid his face in his hands. "I saw myself last night in a way I never thought I would," he confessed earnestly. "I was so angry at Dad for how he treated us, and then," he sobbed, "last night, I did the same thing to someone else." Thomas looked up at her, his eyes desperate for her understanding. "I don't know what came over me. I was just so mad that after all my hard work to get to the party, that Peter would come along and ruin my plans." "He was just trying to save you from yourself," retorted Verity angrily. Thomas nodded. "Yeah, I can see that now, very clearly." His chest heaved. "I guess he's been trying to help me for a long time." "He has!" Verity burst out. "He's tried so hard, and you've been so mean, Thomas." Thomas shook his head in painful recollection. "I just lost my mind, Verity. All I could think of was my anger. And I didn't know that all the other guys would join in." His voice cracked, and he could say no more. In her mind, Verity could see a frightful scene. She wanted to know more, and yet it was terrifying to think about it. With a quiet, trembling voice, she asked, "Was he badly hurt?" "I don't know, Verity," he said in anguish, turning away. "I only hit him a few times. Then the others took over." A huge sob escaped from his chest. "I just know he was unconscious and there was blood everywhere." With a sigh of agony, he reached across and laid his hand on her arm. "I have so much to apologize for. I've been so, so rotten. But if this turns out to be serious for Peter, I will never, ever forgive myself." The tears slid down his face again. "I'm so incredibly sorry," he whispered. They sat there looking at one another in silence for a few moments. Verity remembered how earnestly she had prayed for Thomas to come to a turning point in his life. Now, here he was, apologizing. He had finally understood that the path he was following had led him to this. Was she prepared to forgive him, or would she grind him back into the despair and misery he'd been under for so long? Until this incident, Verity had thought of herself as a very forgiving person. After all, she'd forgiven her father for all the pain he'd caused them. But this time it was so different. Or was it? Had Thomas struggled with feelings as intense as what she felt? If he had, then maybe she could understand why he had been so miserable. She took in his red, sorrowful, imploring eyes, his heaving chest. Maybe this had been God's way of helping Thomas. Maybe there had to be something this traumatic in his life to turn him around. In the back of her mind, a little voice reminded her of Christ's command to forgive, even if your brother sins against you 70 times 7 times. Would she only forgive when she felt like it? Or would she forgive because Jesus wanted her to, even if it was incredibly difficult? "Thomas," she said quietly at last, "I forgive you." Relief flooded his eyes as he got shakily to his feet. "Really?" he asked. Going against every vengeful impulse she harbored against Thomas, she got up to give him a hug. It was then that the phone rang, and Verity dashed downstairs to the kitchen to pick it up. "Hello, this is Verity," she said anxiously, rather out of breath. "Verity, this is Peter's mother," said Mrs. Bryant slowly. "He asked me to call you to let you know he's going to be okay. He has a broken nose, several broken ribs, and a punctured lung. There's swelling and cuts all over him, but he's going to make it. He'll be all right." "Oh," Verity exclaimed, sobs of joy breaking her voice. "I'm so glad to hear he's okay. I was so worried." She tipped the receiver partially away from her ear so that Thomas, who was right beside her, could hear as well. "Praise God," Mrs. Bryant stated emphatically. "When I saw Peter last night, I thought things might be far worse. But thanks to God, he regained consciousness this morning, and the doctor says he'll be okay." An uncomfortable thought went through Verity's mind. Should she say it or not? She decided she had to. "Mrs. Bryant, has Peter told you who was involved in the fight?" There was a long pause. "Yes, Verity, I know. We were informed by the police officers. Peter has managed to say a few things too." She paused again. "It's a little hard for us to understand right now about your brother and everything." Verity's fears were realized. "He's very, very sorry," she began, glancing nervously at Thomas, who had turned towards the cupboards, his face hidden behind his arms. "Well, somehow Peter seems to be quite sympathetic towards your brother," Mrs. Bryant said cautiously, "even though supposedly Thomas started the fight. Anyway, dear, let's worry about that later. When Peter is better, we'll let him speak for himself." "Is it okay to visit Peter?" Verity asked, hoping desperately that the answer would be yes. "Well, I know he would love you to come," she said hesitantly, "but I think until his lung heals, it would be best for him to just keep very quiet." The tears were flowing down Thomas's face again, as Verity asked Mrs. Bryant to pass on her great concern and thanks to Peter. "I don't deserve his sympathy," Thomas said shakily after she hung up the receiver. "I haven't even told him that I'm sorry." "Peter's been very forgiving with you all along," Verity reminded him. "Maybe now you can forgive someone else." Thomas looked up at her soberly. "You mean Dad?" He paused, turning away again. "I have."
"You have?"
she repeated in astonishment.
"I finally realized how it all happened with Dad," he said sadly. "I never thought I would ever become violent, and then last night it just happened so easily. I am never going to drink again. Never."
"I hope you mean that," Verity said with uncertainty. Would Thomas always remain so resolved? Thomas looked over at her with determination. "I do mean that. And furthermore, I'm going to start attending the seminars with you. I know I need to change my life."
"Wow," Verity exclaimed, astonished. "You've made all these decisions in one night."
Thomas shook his head, more in control now.
"No, this has been building for a while, believe it or not. I've been so jealous of you, always happy about everything, so at peace."
"I'm not going to deny it any longer," he said earnestly. "I know, I need to find what you have." Verity hugged him again. How quickly life could go from the deepest darkness of night to the rising of the sun.